call. Today I'd like to get right to the point and get right into it. We're still in the midst of all of these executive orders and changes on our healthcare, well, proposed changes on our healthcare system, and I wanted to examine that a little further. The president signed an executive order allowing people to buy insurance across state lines, getting rid of the, or allowing insurance companies to offer policies which get rid of the 10 mandated healthcare coverage tenants. It allows people to associate so that if you belong to an association of some sort, whether that's some sort of a society or anything where people are like-minded and joined together, they can actually form an association to purchase insurance. And all of these things are being fought tooth and nail by the proponents of Obamacare. And I think people need to really understand the truth versus the fiction. The argument is that it's going to raise the premiums for those who still have health insurance, and specifically Obamacare, and that this is, you know, devastating for those particular patients. When in actuality, the subsidies to the insurance companies to help keep costs down are also ended. So the argument is that that's going to be the thing that causes insurance companies to raise rates 50%, 60%. Well, I have news for people. It's been happening. It's been raised every year since Obamacare came online with the subsidies in place. And what really is going on and what the argument really is that it is now producing competition. If it works the way it's designed to work, people will have a choice that if they can't afford what they have, they won't be mandated to buy something they can't afford, and they will look elsewhere and pick policies and plans that actually do work for them. And if this is such a great, this is my question, Dave, if Obamacare is so awesome and everybody should want it, why are they afraid of competition? Because it should be the best game in town. It should be the most affordable insurance with the most choice, with the most physicians on plans. That's not what's been going on. And as soon as people are unhooked or unleashed from this, they're going to run away in droves, leaving the people who can't leave because they have complicated medical problems or they love Obamacare. And what's wrong with that? My argument has changed. And over the past year, or maybe a little longer, it's become if you like Obamacare, you can keep it. You know, make it part of a choice of options for patients. But these guys don't want that. They want single payer. And this is the death knell to single payer. Free market is the garlic to the vampire that is Obamacare. If you're choosing something and you have free will on something and it's not good, you vote with your pocketbook. This is not going to work for them. And all of this single payer talk now will die on the vine. And I think that's what they're really, really clamoring, you know, foul over. It's completely hypocritical, because if they really wanted people to have coverage, they should be happy that people have coverage by any means necessary and what works for them, not this centralized, planned healthcare system, which is a joke. I mean, what's your take on it?
Oh, I think you're 100% right. And you only have to look to the north. You only have to look to the UK to get an opinion of single payer. And we talk about people crossing our border. Well, we've got lots and lots of people crossing our northern border not to immigrate to the U.S., but to get medical care. And I think anything that President Trump can do to put the final nail in the coffin with Obamacare, it should be done, since Congress doesn't seem to have the fortitude to do it.
Well, we talked about this at length. It's not because they ever want to change the system. They want to continue the status quo, which is to receive money for their campaigns, for whatever they do up there. And they're getting it from the same players who stand to gain. insurance companies he talked about. I mean, how many times can we say follow the money? And that's exactly what's been going on. The insurance companies are not, I mean, the good thing about this whole thing was that their stock dropped. To me, that was the telling point, that this was for patients and doctors and against them, because they were no longer going to be on a gravy train, which is awesome. How much money do these guys need? They barely pay the reimbursements out to doctors. They barely cover anything now as it stands. And companies like Blue Cross are just running amok in the healthcare arena, where they've, in Georgia, I don't know if you knew this, but they stopped even covering or offering Obamacare plans, this Pathway X nonsense that they have, which is a total joke. They don't cover anything. Everything's experimental, not covered, all sorts of tricks that they pull so that they don't have to pay it, even though the patient is paying a premium. So I see patients constantly who have coverage, but nobody takes their insurance plan because doctors have figured out this is not working. And I have to go further. Even people on Medicaid are in the same position. I have a patient who has a hearing issue, needs to have an evaluation by a specialist, a neurotologist, and I call up the local hospital because I don't take Medicaid, and I was told that they don't take it either. What are they doing all day up there? If they're getting money to take care of indigent patients and take care of, you know, Medicaid and Medicare, and now they decided, hey, we're not taking it either, the system doesn't work. And all the people on the TV talking about how you're horrible because you want people to die are really just, either they have no clue or they're so hell-bent on, you know, command and control that they could care less what happens to people. I'm not sure at this point which one it is. I know what my gut tells me, but, you know, the proponents of this really need to take a hard look at themselves, I think. And it's still time to fix this if we all get together, if doctors are on board and patients are on board, to actually give their ideas and their experience about what really has been going on. 8 years worth of this stuff, I think we have enough experience to know what works and what doesn't. And going down this value-based system where essentially we're moving towards not just single payer, but remote medicine. Telemedicine has become a huge issue. Health information technology, all of these companies, these Wall Street companies, startups, entering the healthcare system now to provide service is another problem. We're now seeing doctors being pushed not only from the patient, you know, from patient care, they're actually being pushed out of the system, and it's being automated. I mean, they're talking about Siri and Watson and all these artificial intelligence programs becoming the first line of treatment. It's ridiculous. Amazon is jumping on the bandwagon, and let me tell you, that's not a good thing. They figured out it's more money to become the middleman, to offer the services, to become the pharmacy benefit management company, to actually be the caregiver, the provider, and they're going to make money on the backs of doctors and patients more. It's the only cash cow, I think, left in our system, and it's being raided 24/7.
Dr. George, you just mentioned PBMs, pharmacy benefit managers. Explain to your audience what that is. I've been reading a lot about, how can I say it? The fake, the crooked, I think that's to use some of Trump's terms, of the pharmaceutical industry, and that certainly includes PBMs.
Well, it's, for lack of a better way to put it, it's a middleman that inserts itself into the pharmacy side of things. You know, insurance companies are third-party administrators for healthcare.
Well, I guess this middleman, this PBM, he has a large warehouse. He brings products in, and then he distributes them. He really works his tail off, right?
No, he doesn't. But he inserts himself or herself as the most, you know, providing a value to the service. But really what it's about cronyism, you know, crony capitalism at its purest. So they buy the drug, they work with the insurance companies, they work with the pharmacies to set the price. So the price is artificially raised. We've seen that, you know, go nuts. Medication that was $10 is now $200. That's all through the ENT. I'm sure it's through other parts of the healthcare system as well. They're basically colluding to set a price. And if they didn't exist and the pharmacies would have to buy directly from the pharmaceutical company, they would probably get a, well, they would get a better discount, frankly. And the insurance companies decide what goes on formulary by adding, by the pharmacy benefit management company, they decide together. And there are discounts and kickbacks all through the system so that a certain preferred drug will pay a pharmacy benefit management. This is weird. Everybody's making money off of this product before it gets to the patient. So it's kind of hard to describe, but you set the price, you give discounts for the pharmacies buying the particular medication and for the insurance companies making it a tier one medication. And there's payola going on to decide what goes as a first tier drug. And it changes depending on the favorite drug of the week and who pays more to get their drug in. It's just sick, Dave, on all levels.
Yeah, it's my understanding. I was kidding you about the big warehouse. It's my understanding that most PBMs, they never touch it. It's all paper shuffling.
Just like the bank, right?
Exactly.
It's a system that's based on, you know, yeah, payola, favoritism. It's corrupt. And every time you insert a middleman with no value, the cost to the consumer goes up because they have to get their piece of the pie. You know, the healthcare system, the cost of healthcare, don't have to be as high as they are currently. They are artificial, and it's based on the same third-party administrator system. Just like in, let's look at Medicare and Medicare Advantage and the fact that the government pays insurance companies to be the third-party administrator for Medicare Advantage plans. They're more expensive than typical Medicare. The government pays these guys to administer it. You know, why are they there? Why do you even need them? Why can't Medicare, what does the government do all day that they can't work Medicare without help from a commercial insurance plan? So they have to pay them for administrative fees. They pay them to be the face of it. It's just ridiculous. If the government has a plan or a program, then they should run it without help. And if an insurance company, or I should say if a drug company has a product, it should be able to sell directly to the pharmacy without a problem. That's why places like BlinkHealth.com, GoodRx exist, because they cut the PBM middleman out, and you can see drugs go from hundreds of dollars down to 7 and 11 and 12, just a fraction of what they cost. And the best way to beat the PBM is to go online and get your medication from Blink Health, from GoodRx, from your doctor who dispenses out of their office, because they're buying directly from the pharmaceutical company at a discount. I can get Tylenol or Motrin for $5, you know, a count of 100 or 200, and that same medication is going to cost the patient, you know, $10 or $11 for a count of 6 or 10. It's ridiculous, but this is where patients becoming consumers is key. I think we need to take a break, but we need to discuss that further. We have so much power. If we use it, it's amazing. The NFL is only the beginning of what could be done if we as consumers take our power back across the board. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is Lawyer Liz. Join me each week as we discuss drones, the Internet of Things, and all the technology in between. It's Buzz Off with Lawyer Liz, Wednesdays at 2.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Just wanted to just expand on the PBMs for a minute. I mean, they account for 266 million Americans in pharmacy or in prescriptions. That's a lot of people. And they supposedly aggregate the buying clout for the people within these plans, but I'm not sure that exists. I mean, if people are paying over $200 for a nasal steroid spray that used to be, $40 or $50, what are they doing? Who's making that money? Why is it jacked up so high, and who stands to gain? Again, we as consumers, and the NFL is a perfect example, they want to produce a product that people want to consume and at least wanted to consume, and they don't care about their patient base, you know, the people who watch that stuff. And if the patient or the people are saying, we don't like this, we don't want to politicize something, we just want to be entertained, and they're voting with their feet, that's the only thing they understand. You know, the stock of CBS and Fox are now dropped because of the people stop watching these entertainment shows. And that's what this is. It's all theater and entertainment, and I don't care if it's politics, I don't care if it's sports, it's all been just, I don't know, it's fake. And it's controlled and manipulated, and they're trying to get us all to move down a path of thinking a certain way. And those people who are awake and get it, which I think my listening audience is, I think the people who listen to your radio station, you know, America's Web Radio are, we're just not buying it. It doesn't make any sense, you know?
You know, a good example of this, and I think this, when it gets to be a situation that you're killing people, then I think the law, both state and federal, should step in. And this is what's happening with Narcan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've kept up with it. We keep up with it in one of our other shows. But Narcan has gone from $78, I believe, when they started selling it. It's an injection that reverses an opioid overdose, correct?
Right.
And it's gone to the ridiculous price from $78 up to, in some cases, $4,500, making it impossible, even in the IR area, Atlanta. EMTs still carry it in the ambulances, but no longer can sheriffs and police departments afford to keep it. How many lives, you know, and I don't understand opioids, I don't understand people taking it, but so forth, that's none of my business. But if their lives can be saved, to me it's criminal that a pharmaceutical or PBM can raise the price from $78 to $4,500.
I totally agree with that. Not just that, it's insulin, it's EpiPens, it's anything that's life-saving and absolutely necessary. Asthma medication, they have just run amok with charging exorbitant, just criminal levels of prices for things. You know, a private company should be able to do what it wants and charge what the market would bear. But knowing that this is collusion on a level that is killing people, and knowing that Congress has the power to do something, and I'm questioning now Congress's motivation all the way through this healthcare system and this drug epidemic. Did you see the article that came out, or actually it was on 60 Minutes, where a congressman, various congressmen were taking money from drug companies, and they ended up passing a law that weakened the power of the DEA to go after pharmaceutical companies and doctors who were dumping opioids on the market, just writing crazy prescriptions and dumping the medication into our system without, you know, illegally. And the fact that Congress passed this and it was signed into law, and that was not creating, but certainly aiding and abetting this epidemic, how can they possibly say that they have the best interest of the American people when I think 40,000 people have died of opioid poisoning last year alone? It's crazy. And there's nobody held accountable for it, and it's all about the money. And they have no conscience. It's sick.
What can we do about it?
You know, that's a very good question. I think we need to take personal responsibility, first of all, first and foremost. Nobody's shoving these pills down our throats. We need to find, you know, some way of not needing to get high to live every day. That would be number one. Number two, find these people who have voted this way and remove them from power. Call up their offices. All they understand is not getting back in for the next round so they can feed at the trough again. That's all they care about. That's money is the language that all of these people speak. The NFL gets it when people stop buying tickets. The government will get, or these Congress critters will get it when somebody else comes up to run against them and they get kicked out of office. That's what they need. I mean, that's the best way to do it. These people have to go. And we need to take our power back. You don't have to buy health care that you can't afford now, thank God. What the executive order does is it releases you. This is open enrollment right now. You need to start looking at other options. If you're in an insurance plan that you don't like, there's no reason for you to buy that same plan the next year. If there isn't any at all, you've got Liberty HealthShare. You've got direct primary care practices. You've got MediShare. You've got Samaritan. You've got all these other options that you can do and use to pay for your own health care without bankrupting yourself. If enough people make these decisions that they move away from the system, they, in order to get the market share back, will have to change what they do. They know they haven't had the pressure to do it because they've been subsidized by the government. They've been working in tandem with the legislators to craft laws that work against people and push them into their system. But, you know, no one's shoving a pill down your throat. Nobody's making you have to buy these things anymore. If you want to have this, then more power to you. But if you don't and you continue to do the same thing, expect a different result, then it's kind of hard, you know. You're going to continue this process, and you are complicit in it or with it. That's what we're trying to avoid, you know?
A suggestion would be, and one of the things that I believe Trump opened up was the fact that you can also, I don't know how to say, form a small association or a few businesses can get together and buy as a group again. This was in the past. We used to be able to do it like through associations and so forth. But I think that was that door was closed and now it's been reopened. But, you know, I would recommend to business people that they get together and just sit down and say, you know, Elena, what do you know about health insurance? George, what do you know? Sam, what do you know? And just sit down and have a cup of coffee and talk about it, and then maybe form your own little healthcare association and go to one of the players and say, what kind of deal will you give us? We're bringing 25 people.
I would go beyond that, actually. I would go to the medical cost-sharing side of it. Insurance companies are, it's like a monolith. You know, they have a way of doing things just because that's what ERISA is. It's a self-funded plan that a company can do, and they use the insurance company as their administrator. Now, they're paying the insurance company to to administer their product, to administer their health care needs for their employees. But that has a host of problems with it as well. We've been victimized as a doctor's office by that sort of system, where the company pays for the administration of the product, and the insurance company does whatever they want. They make up the rules as they go along, and they don't pay the doctor for their services. It's over a year now that I haven't been paid for a surgery that I did, because the ERISA plan doesn't even follow the tenets of what the insurance company guidelines are for pre-certification. That system is just as broken, and it's expensive to the employer who purchases it. If you were to do something like join Liberty Health Share, like we did, we're a small business, cover our employees under Liberty Health Share, for example, instead of paying thousands of dollars to the commercial brands, I'm paying less than $1,000, like a little over $500 to cover four people, and their out-of-pocket is $500 a year, and they're covered up to $1 million per incident per year. So I have a plan that I can afford to pay for. My employees can afford to go to the doctor. Their deductibles and all those things that go on in this commercial insurance side of it are irrelevant. Because even if you go and you, as an association, go into the healthcare commercial insurance side, you're still going to be dinged with the premiums and the deductibles and especially the high out-of-pocket costs to keep your premiums down. So people are paying $2,500, $5,000, $7,500. So you're still paying into that system and you're still feeding that beast. So you're not fixing the problem, which is why is health insurance so expensive? Why are healthcare costs so expensive? I don't think that you as an individual, even as an association, buying into that system makes a change. You're just in a position where you're going to pay less than what you were going to pay, but you're still being gouged. That system needs to die on the vine, and the only way to do that is to choose a system outside of the box. Partner with the direct primary care group so that you pay a monthly pay. That's another way to handle this. You can go to a direct primary care practice and say, hey, I want to send all my employees to you. Cut me a deal. It might be $50 per employee per month, which is really not crazy either. And everything that doctor does in their office is covered under that plan, x-rays, lab work, et cetera. And then maybe you can purchase a supplemental policy like Aflac so that if they do get hospitalized, if they get a bad diagnosis like cancer, they'll have a policy, an indemnity policy in place to pay for all of that. There's so many ways to skin this, this problem, that you can do it, not pay a lot, and get better health care. This is what, and we talk about this again forever, and I could probably take another break, but it's the better health care system is now outside of the insurance market. It's cheaper, you get better coverage, you get better care, the doctors are higher quality. That's where you really should be going with this. Cash-paying practices, cash-paying services that help you enter the system at a discount and get medication at a discount, stay healthy, use prevention. Those are things that people really need to start moving towards. Doing the same thing, expecting a different result, just because you get a little bit of a discount on these associations, I'm not interested anymore in dealing with any insurance plan because they are in the business of working against doctors and patients. That's what they do. That's what they're designed to do. And I refuse to, as a patient at least, pay them and keep them propped up. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you probably notice that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you're able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is, this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will likely continue to rise, while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is, Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We believe in taking care of the whole patient, because healing is more than writing a prescription. We are committed to working with you, and we specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I think, you know, ultimately, it's all about knowledge so you can make an informed choice. You know, in the break we're talking about, if it's so awesome, why do they have to coerce everything? I mean, the examples are now starting to get pretty, you know, they're starting to get out of control. We have a mom who was jailed because she didn't want to give a vaccine to her child, and they did it anyway while she was in jail. I know we have a movement towards a loss of informed consent. You know, if you read the inserts of these vaccines, they have some serious consequences for some patients. Death, you know, neurological disorders, narcolepsy, all sorts of things. And not everything has been vetted. We don't know what we're putting in our body most of the time. And for some entity, some administrative entity like a court to mandate, actually to basically force a medication on somebody against the parent's will, where does the parent, the rights of the parent to treat their child, where does that end? And who has the right to actually do that? That's the question that nobody asks, you know? And if you let this happen, it's like a slow encroachment of that whole thing continuing to get out of control. Who's to say when you have to take a medication because for, I don't know, for a mental disorder? You know, someone says that you have an issue and someone's going to forcibly medicate you because you're an outlier or your child talks in class. I mean, all sorts of things that if you let this get out of control, something else is going to take over and take your power away. That's something that we as patients and I think Americans, human beings, really need to guard against. The good of the many does not always outweigh the needs of the few. It doesn't. And if there is a bigger agenda where they're trying to manipulate, control, and control cost and get everybody involved in something, whether it's for their benefit or not, we need to stand up and take a stance on it. First thing you could do is say, I'm not going to do it, right? I mean, you're asking about flu shots. I don't offer them in my office. I don't believe in them. Why would I offer something that I wouldn't take myself? If patients want to have that, there's plenty of people they can go to. God knows they can walk into any pharmacy and get one pretty much for free. Why they'd want to, I don't know. But, hey, that's up to them. But for someone to say, as a physician, you must offer flu shots. You have to do it, whether or not you believe in it. That's the kind of system that we're moving towards. And it's not based on science always. And the science that it's based on, you know, science can be rigged too. You know, you need to know who underwrites these studies. You know, if they're written up by a drug company, underwritten by a drug company, and the outcome is that you should take that drug because it's great, I have a question mark about that. Everybody should have a question about that. And we need to dig deeper instead of on everything, quite frankly, Dave, everything, instead of just taking what they give us, the little things they dole out, the little pearls that they say over and over again, to the indoctrination. And it usually isn't quite the truth. It's a partial truth. And it's on us to do our own due diligence. It's our responsibility. We're adults. We can read. We don't have to just take the soundbite from TV. That's why the Internet, thank God the Internet is still there. You need to start doing some research on it. It's an eye-opening experience. It really is.
You know, the thing about going back to flu shots that's always intrigued me is you compare the researchers with, oh, let's take something common, meteorologists. As you and I both know, meteorologists in Atlanta, Georgia, can make all the predictions in the world 2 days in advance, 3 days in advance, and it just doesn't happen. They miss it by 100 miles. Not always, but many, many times. It's going to rain tomorrow, and it doesn't rain. It's going to snow day after tomorrow, and it doesn't snow. Or it's going to be sunny, and it snows. And yet, we don't throw, and we throw rocks. I do, anyway. At the meteorologists, they told me I could wear a bikini tomorrow, and I can't. Or, yeah, whatever. So you look at the pharmaceuticals of, and they're predicting, they're what, maybe a year? I know they're well over 9 months of saying, well, we're going to come out with a formula for 2018 or 2019's predicted flu. How many times have they totally missed it?
Well, like, there were whole batches where it was the wrong strain altogether. It's not an exact science, really. And my thing about vaccines, I mean, some of them you need. I'm not going to say vaccines themselves are bad. But some of them, like the flu shot, if I take a vaccine, I would want it to be protected forever, not have it. Why doesn't it work every, you know, beyond the time that you take it? It's my question mark. It always has been my question mark about it. Or the people who took the measles vaccine but still get measles. They're not protected. I am protected for the rest of my life. I've had measles. I've had mumps. My titers are still through the roof since I had the disease. There's something to be said by natural immunity, which is actually more protective and permanent versus these things that you put into your body that juices your immune system to try to ramp it up to create the antibodies to fight the problem. So it doesn't work that way for everybody. This is what I mean. Using the needs of the and many outweighing the needs of the few. For those few people that have a bad reaction, and I don't think it's a few, I think it's a growing number. And there's a question as to whether it's that's a different show, but the question as to whether autism, the rates of autism have risen based on the amount of vaccines that we give our children and the timing of the vaccines. It's not just the vaccines, it's when they're given. Pregnant women are now taking vaccines, which was a no-no when I was in medical school. They were told not to take them. Now they're getting loaded with them. You have kids getting them as soon as they're born. They're even having a competent immune system. Why are you giving them hepatitis B vaccine? You know, so this is what I have a problem with. Why can't these things wait until they're immunocompetent? Can they be spaced out longer so they're not all given at the same time? These are things that just There's no movement. There's questions about it, but there's no movement. Why don't they do a study on it? Isn't it about protecting us, or is it about controlling us? That's the problem. And once you move into a system, going back to single payer, where the centralization of the thought, the medical practice, the payment system, when it's all in the hands of one entity, there's a problem there. Whoever has the pocketbook has the power. Do you want to have the pocketbook so you can decide what you want? Or do you want someone telling you, because I pay for it, you do X, Y, and Z and like it? Which one do you want? That's really the whole mindset of our system. We have a decision to make. Do we want to go down the progressive pathway? Or do we want to withdraw from that and go down the more libertarian pathway? I don't mean conservative and liberal. It's just a label. They both want the same thing, but just want to go about it a different way, but the same end result, where the government is controlling you from cradle to grave. That's how I see it. Do you want that to be the case, or do you want to make your own decisions? And you could be wrong, and that's what being human's about. But I do want to make my own choices as to how I want to run my life. That's the difference, as opposed to someone saying, because you're part of a group, because you are, you know, it's all very tribal, that you should want something a certain way because of how you look, where you're born, you know, your sex. All these things are pre-planned for you. That's not living, is it? You know? I mean, I just don't see it. That doesn't fit for me. And I think most people, if they think about it that way, it wouldn't fit for them either.
Well, it takes one ingredient that you didn't mention, and that is that you're not lazy, and many, many people are too lazy to do their own research. Well, if the government says it's good for us, it must be.
Yeah, well, I got one word for you, or a few words for you, Tuskegee experiment. you know, that's the government working in your favor, right? I mean, this is not a system. Unfortunately, it seems to me like the worst instincts and elements seem to come to the fore when no one's watching what people do. This is history, right? You let something just take control and hope for the best. It usually gets corrupted. Doesn't usually work for you, but it wants to control you. It wants to take your, you know, everything that makes you you in order to work within this machine. It's just not, I mean, how many times are you going to do the same thing and expect a different result?
I think that was Einstein that said you're crazy, right?
Yeah, if you keep doing the same thing, exactly. But, you know, we have options. We need to just exercise them. Right now, we're in a position where we can vote with our pocketbook, vote at the ballot box. You know, the ballot is coming, or the elections are coming next month. You know, if you're living in a community where you have some stark choices on which way your society and your local community is going to go, you need to get out there and vote. I just don't have a problem with people who whine and don't vote. What are you complaining about? You had no voice in the system, but doing it by, you know, force or coercion or getting out there and promoting violence is not the way to do it.
Well, again, it comes to lazy, and when I say lazy, you know, I've talked about that. We have the greatest ability to obtain knowledge that ever in the world. It's sitting right in front of us if we'll just use it, and that's your computer, your laptop, your whatever. It's so easy to look things up. It just takes a little bit of time, and very little at that.
Well, once you start the process, you actually can't stop, because you've learned things that you didn't know, and you're able to go down side paths and actually read and go into more detail. And honestly, do you really want to just take the, you know, the party line of anything? Or do you really want to do your own due diligence? I mean, this is kind of a no-brainer for me. I'm a scientist, so I want to know exactly what's going on and why, and then make a decision about something, not just a knee-jerk response. This is the problem that we have right now in our whole political system. Everything is knee-jerk and a response to a response, and you're told how you're supposed to feel. You should be angry about this. You should, you know, rebel against X or Y. Does it serve you as an individual? You know, I'm going to look it out for my patients, for myself, for my community, for my country. I have a lot of different things that I look at, not just being a woman, not just being an African-American, nothing, none of that stuff. It's bigger. I mean, it's just more complex than what they're trying to make it. But, you know, if they make us pissed off, then you're able to be led around and manipulated. And if it's working against your interest, don't do it. Don't let them make you do it. I decided quickly. Giving up my practice and working for a big corporation was against my interest. because it works against what a doctor, in my opinion, should be, which is an advocate for the patient. I'm not fiduciary responsibility to my patient, not to a hospital, not to an insurance company, not to the government. It's to my patient. Anything that's going to step in the middle of that is a pretty easy call. I can't do it. And it was going against the grain. Someone asked me the other day, how hard has it been to keep your solo practice open, seeing what's unfolded in the healthcare system? I'm like, I didn't have a choice. I just know what I couldn't do, and I found ways around it. We all need to do that. If we did that, then all those people up in Capitol Hill who make these crazy rules and regulations and get on TV and talk out of both sides of their mouth, total hypocrites, you would see it for what it was, and you would turn them off, tune them out, and ultimately they need us. They need us more than we need them. We need to understand that and use it accordingly. That's an immense amount of power that we have.
By the way, I want to remind everybody that Back to Liberty Share, an alternative to the norm in healthcare or health insurance, you can go on your website or you can go on America's web radio website. First thing you're going to see is Liberty on Call. Click on that and you can find out all you want to find out about Liberty Health Share. And you want to give them your website too, Dr. George?
You can go to drelaina.com. And I want to give another information point. You know, I've mentioned Aflac a few times on the show, and honestly, I didn't know what it was before I joined it. Well, we joined as a business maybe about 3 years ago, and it's become one of those things that it's invaluable because it actually pays you to stay healthy. So we've had instances where we get checks back just by going. I get a yearly eye exam. I just got a check for $60 the next day after submitting my claim. An office staff member had a tooth pulled and got a check for $300 and some odd just because of submitting the claim. So it's actually paying you to do to stay healthy. Colonoscopies, mammograms. God forbid you need surgery, any surgical procedure, you actually get money back from the actual code of the procedure. You don't have to beg for it. It's an indemnity plan. And indemnity means that this is like our life insurance. Once you make the claim, they pay you. No questions asked. That's the thing that people really need to consider for $20 or $30 a month. That peace of mind that in case something happens, we have an accident policy, we have a cancer policy, and we have hospitalization. So if we get admitted, we're getting paid every day while we're in the hospital. If we get a diagnosis of cancer, we get a check for $250,000 from this company. No questions asked. Imagine what that does for your power of treatment. I don't want to do X, Y, and Z. I want to go out of the country and get a treatment that I heard of. Well, if you have the power of the money available to be able to do that. Imagine that, Dave. You're not getting pre-certed. You're not asking for help. As a Liberty HealthShare member, we're already in a position where we don't have to do that. But just being able to have the extra money to come back so that if you're out of work for a while, you actually are able to do it. These are strategies that are in place now. They don't have to be legislated. They don't cost a lot. I think it's $50 a month for those three policies that I just discussed. That's, you know, dinner, you know, once a week dinner, basically. People pay a lot more of that to go to the movies these days. Imagine just putting that into place and having the peace of mind that in case stuff happens, you're good to go. I think that people need to know about that. So I have I found an information point that people can call or text, and they should text paid to be healthy to text number 36260, and that will put them into the system so that they can get information and speak to somebody. And they can also call 404-427-8009, and that would also give them another way to access the information that I just spoke about. So I think people need to know about it. It's very vague on the TV. Everybody knows this, the commercials, but what they're providing is a huge benefit. And even if you don't have insurance, people can afford $19, $20 a month, most people. You know, it's not for everybody, and that's the good thing. That's what choice means. If it doesn't work for you, you don't do it. But you don't know what you don't know. That's my other, you know, mantra. And it's our job is to educate you so you can go and do your own due diligence, and hopefully you will take all of this information that you learned from the show and incorporate it and hopefully thrive from it. And when you listen to this nonsense on TV, I don't care personally about when they go to these big iterations of Obamacare is awful, we should keep it. It doesn't affect me because I'm already outside the system. And I do want the system to work because, hey, I'm a human being. But from a personal standpoint, I've chosen a path that is outside, protected, and I know that I'm getting a better system, a better level of care, and so are my employees than anybody in the current commercial health care system for a fraction of what they're paying. And that's a great feeling. And to know that I am paid to stay healthy, that I can, you know, not have to worry about, do I work or do I get better? I know it's the two things that you don't have to worry about. Anything you can take off your plate, I think in this day and age, is a good thing.
Couldn't agree with you more. And our plates are getting more loaded every day. Just briefly, how do you feel that plate that you're talking about is getting loaded, and part of that load is stress?
Yeah.
I think we're under more stress today than we've ever been. Would you?
I absolutely agree. I think some of it's manufactured. You know, they want us to be stressed because we can't pay attention. If you're distracted, you can't pay attention to what's going on right in front of you. And I think that's really the biggest game that's going on out there. There's a lot of money floating around. Even though we're told that, you know, we're country's bankrupt and, you know, everybody's, no, don't have a job and they're not getting paid enough. You know, all these things, these negative things that are out there. There is money. It's being siphoned away from us. It's being used against us. It's being used to control us. You know, I take a bigger picture look at this. We can, again, withdraw our consent from this. If you know that your politician who represents you is working against you, has taken money from these, and whoever that representative was who worked with the lobby groups with Big Pharma to create this legislation that gutted the DEA, he should be voted out. That, how many people have gotten damaged and devastated because of this policy? The DEA was against it. They knew that it was going to be a problem, and they said so, and they pushed it through anyway. So this is how you start taking your power back. Remove these people who are career criminals, career politicians in there getting wallets full while they're voting all sorts of ridiculousness. They need to go. How long do you really need to be in there for 20, 30 years? You don't. What are you doing? That's, you know, we need to make our choices known, not just sit back and hope for the best. It's time to really get involved. And you don't have to do it politically, but you can do it at the ballot box. You can do it with the choices you make and what you buy in terms of food, in terms of clothing, in terms of who you choose to purchase from. I'm not a big fan of Amazon. I think they've actually gotten a lot out of control. And they're putting people out of business by making everything online. If you're going to buy your clothing and everything from Amazon, what happens to the brick-and-mortar store? This is what happened with Walmart. Because we wanted cheap nonsense, we put mom-and-pop retail out of business for convenience sake. And the product that they sell generally wasn't very good. It was cheap. But you get what you pay for. You have to decide, do you want to do telemedicine or do you want to go to a doctor who's going to actually sit with you, spend time with you, know you, examine you physically, and make you better? Or do you want to get 15-minute telemedicine for $25 where they use a Watson program and write a prescription? That's the choices that patients have to make. That's the choices we all have to make. What is our value? What are we worth? Are we worth cheap crap, or are we worth more than that?
Well, the problem being with that comes back to how lazy are you? Are you willing to do your fair share of it? Obviously, the doctor is at their office waiting for you to walk in the door. Are you willing to get off the couch and walk into the door, or do you want to sit there and figure out how is that telemedicine doctor going to take your blood pressure and and your pulse? They must have a long arm to reach into my living room.
Look, Dave, it's gotten even worse than that. They have little kiosks now that you can walk into, and it's all virtual. So you're not even seeing a doctor anymore. You basically, they're trying to make this cool and hip. And just because it's trendy doesn't make it good. This is how they've co-opted us.
Wait a second. Are you talking about like a kiosk at a mall or something?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
yeah.
What did that person that was in there right before me have exactly?
I don't know. It's a very good question. You know, so I guess they take your blood pressure, you put your finger on a monitor, you can get your oxygen level. I mean, it's all virtual. And then they pump out a prescription at the end. But this is how doctors have lost the battle. We need to exert our uniqueness back into this system. It doesn't work without us. And the doctors who are partnering with these companies, they're not doing us a favor. They're not making healthcare better. They're maybe making it more convenient, and it's also making the money flow into these coffers of the people, these entrepreneurs who make this stuff up, but they have disdain for the doctor and the patient. You are a cost center on both ends, and you're suckers, in their opinion. I think telemedicine has a place, don't get me wrong, but it shouldn't be the best, the only game in town. It shouldn't be. If you're rural and you can't get to a doctor and it's remote, I get that. And it's a video screen and you're looking at the person, but this is not what we're talking about anymore. We're talking about like an automated, impersonal, artificial intelligence-driven system that's supposed to become your healthcare delivery system.
We got about 30 seconds, Dr. George.
Well, on this 30 seconds, you know, do your own due diligence. Go to drelainageorge.com, text Paid to be Healthy to 36260, call 404-427-8009 to learn more about Aflac, and go to libertyoncall.com and get your power back. I hope you have a great week, and good luck with everything, and I will see you next week.
Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy, no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps. These are generally benign growths that occur from chronic sinus infection or allergies that are either undertreated or have not been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery and correction of a deviated nasal septum and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office. We use the state-of-the-art equipment so that you can see the problem. You will be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment. We believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. You can rest assured that all options will be offered before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Did you miss the show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Perhaps you are struggling to cope with the disease of addiction. If not, you probably know a family member or friend that needs help in battling the cravings and the personal and professional damage done by the effects of drugs or alcohol. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down the following.